Who knows who John Glenn is?
Earth.
Got time. John Glenn. John Glenn, first American to orbit the Earth in space. Killed. Was a senator for the state of Ohio. Oldest man to go back up into space because he's a PC god. Before all of that, he was a fucking Marine. An air winger, though. A pilot.
Right, Captain Smith?
Right. Have that camera. Get the fuck away from me. John Glenn, 1974, ran for Senate against a politician named Howard Metzenbaum. Howard Metzenbaum was a sorry motherfucker. John Glenn, at this point, was a Marine, first American to orbit the Earth in space. Howard Metzenbaum asked him, how can you run for Senate when you never held a job? What the fuck would you do if somebody said that shit to you? Now, I'm going to change a little bit of this. I can. It's my world. John Glenn said, is that right? I served 23 years in the United States Marine Corps. I fought through two wars. I flew 149 missions. My plane was hit by an aircraft fire on 12 different occasions. I was in the space program. It wasn't my job. It was my life that was on the line. And this wasn't a 9-to-5 job where I could take time off and take the daily cash receipts to the bank. I asked you to come with me as I went the other day to a veteran's hospital. And you stand there. You look at those men with their mangled bodies. You look them in the eye and tell them that they never held a job. You come with me and visit any Gold Star mother. You look her in the eye and tell her her son never held a job. You come with me to the space program and visit the widows and the orphans of Ed White, Gus Grissom, and Roger Chaykin. And you look those kids in the eye and tell them that their dads never held a job. You come with me on this Memorial Day weekend coming up to Arlington National Cemetery, where I got more friends than I'd like to remember. And you stand there, you watch those waving flags, you think about this nation, and you tell me that those people never held a job. Fuck! I'll tell you, Howard Metzenbaum, you should be on your knees every day of your life thanking God that there are some men who have held a job, and they required a dedication to purpose, a love of country, and a dedication to duty that was more important than life itself. Their self-sacrifice is what made this country fucking possible.
To the Global Recon Podcast. I'm your host, John Hendricks. On with me for this episode is Chantel Tyler, British Army combat medic, author of the book Battle Worn. Chantel, how's it going?
It's good, John. I think people may be getting a little bit annoyed with my accent.
Yeah, I think someone commented on one of my posts, or I don't remember, but they said something like, every time I read... when I'm reading her book, I can hear her voice.
Oh, like, dear.
Narrating the words.
That's a little bit concerning. Maybe I need to do an audio book.
Yeah. But yeah, it's interesting. And I think there's an interesting dynamic because we speak the same language, but you know, there's differences in the way things are said and spoken. I think if people care enough, it could be an interesting dynamic to kind of, you know,
pay attention to. It is odd. Cause, I mean, I've worked with like so many Americans over my years in the military and then in contracting, and there are still those subtle differences. But then I always found when I'd been around Americans for a while, the same group, you have so many similarities, and then those little differences are actually quite welcome. You know, I suppose it's when something's a bit different, sometimes you have more fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and I guess that type of stuff depends on the individual, you know?
Yeah. And I'm not adverse to popping on a red coat running around camp, you know?
I just want to give a shout to Tim Kozak from the Veterans Project.
We missed him.
Yeah. What the hell is up? Tim is everywhere. I mean, like, I think he was like on the West Coast. Now he's on the East Coast. So Tim's doing a lot of stuff. Tim did a feature with his Veterans Project on Donny O'Malley, who we had our conversation with, and we'll play that in a little bit. So it all ties in.
And that's great, isn't it? It's the fact that the community, if you imagine how many military are serving, how many veterans there are out there, and then that small circle of people actually motivated to try and make a difference, you know, to the guys and girls that are coming home. That circle is very small, and it's quite nice that these people, you know, we met him on the podcast with Tyler, and you've obviously met him before that, and then he's covering all these great guys doing these other great things. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think you know, kind of tying into some of the points that were being made when we were talking to Donny about, you know, never has there been a time where veterans could kind of group up or you know, veterans and like-minded individuals, because you know, obviously there are very talented people who haven't served in the military but could work and would work with veterans for various things. And
yeah, sure,
you know, never before has there been like a an opportunity like there is now for veterans to project their voices and ideas, or really for anyone anywhere, to be honest. But
yeah, and it's seeing that creativity. And we'd spoke again previously about the, if you can be creative in war, you know, when you come home, there's nothing to stop you going back to what made you creative, or even introducing some sort of creativity, because it's and I say that from speaking from my perspective, that it certainly helped me, you know, to be creative in many ways. So
right, just, I mean,
it's awesome.
You think about it like you know, this is sentiment that I've heard from different people. I think you've said this as well, or something along the lines of like, you know, you feel like you'll never feel as kind of alive or I think you said needed, but you explained it in a different way, not just like needed as in the regular definition of it, but as you were in a war zone, you know, or on your deployment, sure, or serving. But if you, you know, when you get out, if you apply that same intensity and that same tenacity and that same drive to whatever it is, and this is like generally speaking, to whatever it is, and you know, you'd want to do, I think people would be surprised at the results that can come in from that, you know, the positive results.
Yeah. And even like at the levels where, you know, big business people in London, and I know this like to be fact, that is, they love to have someone that's been in the military because of that drive, because of that, the way that we, as you know, even in teams, the way that we're able to motivate people and to basically get things done in the sort of shortest possible time, but never sort of losing the quality of it. And that's, and it's not to say those skills aren't within the civilian sector, but they're definitely in the military sort of areas. So it's a transferable skill, you know. And I think sometimes we forget that we have more to offer, and that not being a war or being a war fighter is not necessarily not having anything to offer, but there are other things that need to be achieved. And you know, with those sorts of backgrounds, there's nothing that can stop any veteran from achieving anything that they want to achieve. And the guests that we've had on, certainly, or that I've been lucky enough to be part of, you know, they've proven that, I think.
Yeah, and there are examples. If you want to go back into any point in history, you know, now, or, you know, let's say like a guy like the gentleman who was the head of the OSS, the Office of Strategic Services, during the Great Wars. His name is Bill Donovan, right? And he was, he fought in World War One, if I'm not mistaken, in the Army. He was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor, came out, became a lawyer, worked on Wall Street, and then the Second War popped off. And then he headed up like a secret, you know, spy or intelligence agency. And this is a war veteran who served during a really bad war in terms of the amount of fighting and that sort of thing. And I think if you look at a guy like that, you know, it's for veterans who maybe feel like who feel like that they won't have that same level of success that they had in the military now that they've gotten out. and maybe they lost motivation. You know, you can look at people all throughout history, or through our country's history, or through the British country's history, and find examples of great individuals who, even after they got out of the service, they continue to rise to high levels or great levels. You know, and I think, like you said, sometimes they, you know, veterans forget these kind of things. You know.
Yeah, they do, and it's a really good reminder. And I hope that, you know, if there's anyone that is out there listening, we all have bad days, and even the days where you feel like everything's together, you always know that. Now, this is what I always sort of revert back to, is whatever day that I'm having, there's always been a worse day. You know, there's always been a worse day, so nothing can kind of ever get that bad. Do you see what I'm saying? There's always a better day to be had. Right. And usually it's down to you to make that better day. You know, and we've got all these great support networks now. And I think the subject we spoke about with Donnie is an even more sort of a really good support network that he's starting. But, you know, that's around there now. But you've also got to support yourself and lift yourself up. I think it's really important that we kind of take control of ourselves.
Right, absolutely. And you know, and you have to, you know, that same responsibility that you had as a medic, you know, when someone got shot or whatever, someone's wounded, and now, you know, their life is in your hands, and you have to make the right decisions, and you have to own those decisions, you know. And if you, and for anyone who served in any type of capacity, even if it, you know, wasn't in combat or whatever, you know, you're held to a very high standard in the military. And if you can keep that, you know, like, because when you get out, you lose some of that structure, right? Because everything's already in place. But you can bring that with you, you know, mentally, and force yourself to keep certain standards and that sort of thing.
And it's about, because I remember this, you sort of get out and it's almost like, yeah, that's me, I'm done. And you almost look forward to all the things you thought you didn't like, which was you're done with the routine, you're done with this. And this is just talking from my own experience. They're the things I missed, and they're the right things I had to sort of get. I got to a point. It didn't take me long, right enough, because I'd sort of went straight back out to Afghan within a month. But I then got into this sort of crazy routine where I was like adamant. No, I want that routine back. And that, but then I kind of grew with it. I kind of then I picked the routine, but I had the routine. So it's really important that we do sort of rediscover the stuff that made us great. And I always say this as well, is regardless of, I may have left the military, but if I was ever sort of called upon again, if something were to happen in the UK, if something were to happen where you guys are, you know, we still need to be prepared to sort of man the wall, if that makes sense. I don't really have a better analogy than that, but you still need to be prepared for whatever else happens. Do you see what I'm saying, John?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, is that me waffling on?
No, it makes sense.
Man the wall. And,
yeah. And
I'm like, that's like, I've actually just turned into something from Dad's Army, haven't I? That British girl's gone nuts.
Yeah, she's out of control, man.
I was already nuts. It's okay. I've got a certificate saying that. I'm kidding. Yeah, I don't.
this is like a watered down version right now.
Yeah, I know. It's scary, really. Right, so go on, you should get on to introduce Donnie. Some more madness.
Yeah, this is tame. So, you know, we had Donnie O'Malley on the podcast. Donnie was a Marine Corps officer. He served a combat tour in Afghanistan, was injured through training and stuff like that, and at some point he worked his way out of the Marine Corps. And but during his transition period, he learned the skills of writing, of, you know, film production and things like that. And when he got out, he started these organizations to help veterans through ruck marches, through long hikes with, you know, heavy packs on their back. And he kind of went from, you know, having a small group to all across the country, people were running these events in the same format that he'd set it up, and they were, you know, contacting him to figure out exactly how to get it done and that sort of thing. And now he is building a company called Vet TV, and basically it is a place where you can, it's like a subscription service, and it caters, it's, you know, small episode based content catering specifically to veterans. And it's something that hasn't been done before. And that's why I believe it will be a very interesting and successful venture. And it'll basically be like a subscription on demand service. You pay monthly and you can have an app on your phone. You can have it on your smart TV. You know, you have it on your Kindles, whatever. And
we spoke about it, didn't we? It was almost like, it's like a way of the way that when you're in the military, or if you're still in, you know, the way that you can kind of sit around in barracks or wherever you are, it's kind of shooting the shit. It's that it has that element to it, doesn't it? Where, right. Like we were talking about the routine, the stuff that you miss. Well, you know, if you haven't decompressed properly and you still need that kind of, you know, and there is a very specific humor in the military, and I imagine it's kind of found maybe only in emergency services as well, probably a little bit more PC than what we get in the military, especially when it comes to grunts. And I mean that in the nicest way, but you know, they'll often find the worst, your mum's worst fucking nightmare, basically. And that's the sort of humor I think we're pitched, which is cool. Cause if you miss that, then make sure you log into Donnie's Vet TV. Cause I think that you'll find, if that's the thing that's missing in your life, you're going to get it from Donnie.
Right. And I just, before I play the conversation we had with Donnie, they are crowdfunding this project. They've raised over $200,000. Their goal, I believe, was $250,000 or $245,000. I forget. But they are closer to that goal as of today. Tomorrow night, which is Wednesday night, is when the campaign will close. So what I'll do is I'll post links on the social media post on the podcast notes on the website. And through those links is where you can make your pledge and help contribute to getting this project fully up and running. So now I'll play the conversation that we had with Donnie O'Malley from Vet TV. Welcome to the Global Recon Podcast. I'm your host, John Hendricks. Co-hosting with me is Chantel Taylor, the author of Battle Worn, and we have a special guest on for this episode, and that is retired U.S. Marine Corps veteran Donnie O'Malley. How's it going?
It's going good, brother. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Chantel, you in?
Yeah, I'm in.
All right, cool. So, Donnie, you have a lot going on right now. You recently retired from the Marine Corps, but you jumped straight into getting a company up and running. It's very unique. And you know, we'll get into that in a second. Before we get into that, can we talk a little bit about your background and, you know, some of what motivated you to join the Marine Corps? And then if we can talk a little bit about your career in the Marines.
Okay, so I am son of Irish and Colombian parents. My mother's an immigrant. My father's grandparents were immigrants. And born in New York, lived there for a while, Queens, Long Island. Moved to North Carolina, then San Diego. Started out, you know, middle class for the rest of my upbringing until today. Although I'm still considered white trash by many, so. My mother's dismay. I have, you know, ever since I was younger, I guess if we're going to get into, you know, why I joined the Marine Corps, you know, I was around 6-7 years old, and you know, I always just loved killing, torturing little small rodents. And then as I got older, the animals got bigger until finally I'm like, yeah, I want to do this to humans. So I joined the Marines.
And you were an officer, weren't you, Donnie? Were you an officer?
Well, I was technically an officer, but I never behaved like one.
And how long were you in the Marine Corps?
5 years and 10 months.
Okay, cool. So, what year was it that you went in?
I joined in 2009, and got out right at 2015. So I actually joined pretty late. I joined when I was 25. And it made for a very, very different experience for me as a Marine and as an officer.
Yeah, because how was that when you first, obviously, because if you think when you joined, the blokes had obviously been away for quite some time, you know, in both Iraq and Afghanistan. What was that like going into it? You know, how was the vibe when you sort of turn up? Did you get beasted?
What does beasted mean?
Well, as in like, because if those guys have been away for such a long period of time, when you turn up as a new guy, you know, what was that? What's your initial experience? Did you just deploy right away or?
Okay. Well, I guess let me tap into the experience, my interactions with Marines who were all combat vets. You know, coming in 2009, I was coming into a very battle-hardened, salty, seasoned Marine Corps. Everyone had been to war. All the way down to, you know, the fucking supply clerks who were, you know, leaving the wire to do little convoys and getting blown up and getting in firefights. Everybody had been to war. And coming into that was one of the most amazing experiences of my life, because these men were all gods to me. And I, you know, I worshiped them. You know, even the guys who were not infantry, I looked up to everyone and I valued everyone's experiences. Because even if, you know, maybe they had not been an infantry Marine, they've still been in a battle-hardened Marine Corps for a while. And with that comes this powerful sense of pride and knowledge and strength. So I was honored to walk into that.
Yeah, sure. That's cool. And you're right. Like, I always notice as well, like on the battlefield, and it's one of those things that regardless of who you are now, because there's not sort of straight lines, is it? That, you know, it's a 360 degree battlefield. So you can look forward to getting a slice, even if you are the company clerk. You know, everyone's getting a slice of something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an interesting time. Yeah. And it's even like medics, I think medics in both Iraq and Afghanistan have had, although, you know, obviously there's been wars beforehand that we've got experience, but these have really, like, I think, pushed medicine and medics to the forefront, you know, more so than ever, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And everyone's been tested.
Yeah, exactly, and tested. And that's the thing, when people are tested together, and you often find this, and what you said is true, when you were coming into a battle-hardened sort of group, and possibly the way that you dealt with that, that they don't sort of shun people, do they? They, you know, you're taken in because at the end of the day, you're part of that.
That's right. I got to learn from them.
Yeah, and it doesn't take long before you're the battle-hardened Marine or officer.
Yeah. I wouldn't say I'm like, you know, hardcore battle-hardened. I only had one combat deployment. But what I will say is that just the person that I was, I was just, I don't know what the fuck the issue was, but I was never fazed by anything I experienced. It was all just, I could do almost everything with a smile on my face. Like, I was meant to do that job. I was meant to go to war. And you know, I felt the most happy and content I ever felt in my life was in the midst of real combat. The most content I have ever felt. And I have a lot going on. I've done a lot of shit in the 2 years since I've been out, but to this day, I don't think I'll ever have that feeling again. I belonged there. I didn't want to leave.
No, it's a strange thing, isn't it? And I feel the same at some points. It's almost like, and I was trying to think about this actually, why I feel like that. And it's almost anything that I do now, though, you know, I feel like I'm adding value, I don't ever feel as needed as I was then. And it's not, I don't mean needy. I mean, as in, I, as a lead medic of an infantry fighting company, I felt needed. You know,
and, did, yes.
Yeah. And that, and that's my point is, I don't think I'll ever feel that needed again, because it was a real mm-hmm. sense of, it's very hard to put into words without sounding like a complete idiot, but I know exactly what you're saying when you say it's your happiest time.
Yeah.
I think you had that quote in your book, Chantal, right? It's like the best of times and the worst of times.
Yeah. Yeah. And even then, that's the thing, even when shit got bad, you still have this sense of belonging because it's something that you all share. And that's mm-hmm. maybe what it is, you share the worst and best times, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, Danny, was your rotation was into Afghanistan?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Mine was in Musakala.
Yeah,
Musakala. And Zemindawar.
And they're all like hotbeds, you know, all those sort of areas. They'll be, you know, I'm sure for years to come, those Musakala, Nowzad, Garmasir, Marja, Sangin, you know, they're sort of really well-known places now, aren't they? Kajaki.
Oh, yeah. Very, very well-known.
You know,
and I'm not going to bullshit. You know, by the time... By the time I got there, a lot of the bad guys had been killed or left. So, you know, it wasn't anywhere nearly as badly for me and my unit as it was for the people before us and the couple years before us.
How long are you out there for, Donnie?
7 months.
Oh, that's a fairly long tour. And then you, what happened then? You came back? How's all this? Because obviously all these points are relative and they're building up to what you're going to end up doing now. So what? How did that go?
So when I came back from Afghanistan, I was really, really broken. And I had injured myself many times in my training, starting within the first like 6 months of my training. And most specifically, I kept breaking my ankle and I never missed a day because I was afraid of missing the war because we had talks of troop drawdown. And so I didn't want to, you know, fix my ankle and have surgery and then end up missing the war. So I just toughed it out and then I fucked up my shoulders and I had to have surgery. In the surgery, they paralyzed my right arm by mistake.
Oh, wow.
They only paralyzed the musculocutaneous nerve, which means I lost the use of my bicep and some of my forearm. And I had to keep that hidden from my command because otherwise, as an infantry officer, you get fired. If you're not like perfectly healthy, you get fired. So I just kept it hidden and went to combat, got a lot more broken. And then came home. I had reconstructive surgery, like on my ankle. I don't even know. A month after we came home, and I went to Wounded Warrior Battalion. In Wounded Warrior Battalion, what I got to see was a whole lot of guys who were blown up and shot up, who were so different that they felt so different that they isolated themselves from everyone else. And I saw all of these nonprofits that were that would come by and they would try to like do good things for all these, you know, injured Marines.
Yeah.
But all the guys who had been injured in combat, who had been blown up and shot up, like weren't interested. All they wanted to do was hang out in their barrack rooms with just each other and drink. That's all they wanted to do. And, you know, all of the other people in Wounded Warrior Battalion were car accidents, motorcycle accidents, cancer patients, mental health, and, you know, and people like me who just were weak and broke easy. So,
do you think just stopping you there, Don? Do you think that was part of as well? Because I understand exactly what you're saying. That was part of their kind of decompressing. Because, and you know as well as I do, you don't want to decompress around people that aren't really of your ilk, if that makes sense. You know, people you can sort of chat shit. You can kind of, you don't have to be anything that you're not. You're just there, and that's fine amongst your peers. You know, amongst people that have kind of experience similar things to you and have that same humor and things like that. And I get that. I get, you know, what you're saying in those places. And sometimes you actually feel more secure within that environment.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I mean, it's not just military. It's, you know, it's anyone who has shared a similar experience, especially similar tragedy, you know, alcoholics, victims of sexual assault, victims of domestic violence. When they come together, it is therapeutic and it is safe. So that's what these guys did. And although I was never hit by enemy fire, you know, being an infantryman, I gravitated towards these group, and that's who I hung out with. And I noticed that they felt so different, and they had the darkest and the most filthy sense of humor you could ever imagine. I mean, things that would make some people vomit, they found to be the funniest.
But do you find, and you know, my last posting was to 16 Air Assault Brigade, so it was paratroopers, and it was almost like if they find the, you know, it was the worst thing that you could say was the best thing you could say.
Absolutely.
And so someone was always trying to sort of two shits it. Someone was always trying to, you know, it couldn't be bad enough. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, I know that shit.
So that they had that humor, and and at the time, as I was experiencing this, I started turning some of my journal entries into actual short stories. I had taken some writing classes. You know, I was in Wounded Warrior Battalion, so I had all I did was take classes on film and writing. And so I'm writing my stories, and one of my friends, he had lost his legs in Sangin. He was my biggest fan. I started putting my stories on a blog. He loved it. I went to the Marine Corps ball with a bunch of them. And at the ball, we were getting ready to go. We had a hotel room, a whole bunch of us. And, you know, all these dudes are missing legs and arms and eyes and shit. And you know, at one point, I don't remember, it was at the end of the night. We come back, everyone's shit canned, and like, everyone's sitting around laughing, and they push one of the guys out of his wheelchair, and then two other guys hold him down, and then another guy jumps out of his wheelchair and jumps on top of him and starts fucking his face. And there's a dude with no legs fucking the face of another dude with no legs. But it was like brutal. Like, it was like he was pumping his head so hard it was probably gave him TBI. And then everyone fell to the ground laughing hysterically for like 5 minutes, like just couldn't breathe, tears with laughter.
That's the thing, and that's not shocking. To me, that's not shocking with these guys.
No, not
you know,
at all.
That's actually a sign. The more that happens, it's a sign, oh, everyone's okay again. I know that would probably sound nuts to some people, but it's not. That's actually a real sign of that people are happy.
What I thought right then and there was, this is therapeutic for them.
Yeah, for sure.
This is an effective therapy to help them cope and feel normal.
Yeah.
So I thought, how can I make a place where these guys can all feel okay doing that and not feel like they're weird or outcasted or like something's wrong with them or they should stop? That was my goal. So I thought about it, and this is at the same time I was writing my book, and I created this group called Irreverent Warriors. And all it was the way I figured it was just going to be like a brand that I that I used to throw parties, and that's it. And
how did you do that? Was that what, on Facebook? How did you start that? What was,
it was a Facebook page. And then a website. And all I was doing was posting funny stuff. Funny stuff. And my other big thing was funny war stories. Because I've always hated with a passion watching war stories get told on the military channel or the history channel. Because it's so pretentious.
Yeah. And that's one thing that soldiers, warriors don't do is that there's always humor. And, you know, I try and say this, that even at the darkest time, there's always humor, because it's the only thing that gets you through coping with how shit things get, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That humor is a coping mechanism.
Yeah, for
sure.
And
that was one of the mottos of you know, it was one of the mottos, I guess, of the of our thing, was that humor is a coping of the organization. Humor is a coping mechanism, and it is therapeutic for us. It's needed.
Yes.
So, and again, that's what I created this thing, and all I wanted to do was just host events where I got vets together. But I never did anything. It was a Facebook page that sat there with 2 likes. And then I kind of forgot about it. And so then I published my book, and it did well on Amazon. And then a month
Sorry,
later.
What's your book called, Donnie?
It's called Embarrassing Confessions of a Marine Lieutenant.
Okay. I like that. That sounds like, yeah, I think we'll need to read that and then reconvene. Yeah.
I keeps it real in that book.
Have you ever heard of the Carry On series? Has it got shit like that? Is it one of those? It's just, you know, humorous stories. I mean, what's the kind of gist of the book? Does it sort of do what it says on the tin?
Yep. So it is my journal entries surrounding the last combat operation of our deployment. And that operation was a helicopter raid in Zemindawar, actually. So it was a very, very serious thing. But the whole book is inside my head, and I'm telling you the thoughts that are going through my head. And my thoughts were frequently, "Oh, sweet, we're all gonna die." My thoughts were, "Yo, if you die, I want to get first dibs on all of your porn."
You hear that a lot.
Mm-hmm. My thoughts were, "How much will you give me if I kill this major?" things like that. And, you know, I described the frustrations that we had with rules of engagement about not being able to shoot people, and how frustrating that was. And then frustrating when mistakes were made at higher levels, and
yeah,
how much I hated my company commander. And then there was a reporter who joined our unit. And then there's a couple stories about how I was trying to fuck her.
Were you?
I was, yes.
How hard did you try, Donnie?
I tried pretty hard.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've witnessed that.
I won't say any more. You gotta read it to.
I'm gonna read it, because I'm intrigued. We'll take an F. That's good, right? So, so people can still get this book on Amazon. We won't spoil it all, because they can go and download it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. Yep. And then what came next?
So that came next, and then 1 month later, I think it was, the end of that first month, actually, I hosted this event called the Silkies Hike. And the Silkies Hike is a 22-kilometer hike with 22 kilograms on our backs in honor of the 22 veterans who kill themselves every day.
Wow.
That's the way it started with, anyways. And my goal was, I went on this trip with my father, into the wilderness, and it was the most beautiful trip of my life. It was painful and miserable, but so beautiful. And I thought, oh my God, this is therapeutic. I need to get all my combat buddies out here. Well, that was logistically too hard. Getting people to go out for 60 miles in the wilderness, you know, like very desolate area, is not realistic. So it didn't happen. And so I thought, fuck it. My real goal is to get the veterans together. What's the easy way for me to get them together? Well, let's go for a hike on the beach in San Diego, where there's hot girls everywhere. There's the ocean. We can drink beers on the way. And then my buddy said,
I'll do you one better. How about we do it in silkies?
I was waiting to find out when the silkies came into it.
Mm-hmm. So we say, he said, yeah, let's do it. We made a Facebook post. I sent out a press release, and I thought I was going to have like maybe 10 people there that I went to Afghan with, and it turned out to be 75. And then a week or two later, I had people – the Marine Corps Times did a story on it. And then people all over the country were asking me to host the event for them in their city. And I'm like, no, I can't do this, but let me teach you how to do it. So then this website that had like absolutely no views now all of a sudden had like 30,000 views on the post where I said how to host your own silky site.
Oh, wow.
And, so it blew up. Next thing I know, there's silky sites all over the country. And a guy had one 2 weeks later. He flew me out there, put me up. He's one of my best friends now. He's a mentor to me. I consider him my big brother. Put me up in a hotel next to his. And his hike had 275 people.
Wow. And
two weeks.
What year was this?
This was not this summer or the summer before. Summer 2015.
But how amazing is that? And you look at something as simple as that. You know, just it doesn't matter what, you know, it doesn't even matter if you had two or three people there. It's the fact that you've got those people. So some of those guys potentially would have been miserable, you know, would have really needed something like that. And, you know, I think that something like that's amazing.
They needed it. So what ended up happening was that thing exploded all over the place. And what was I going to say? I turned Irreverent Warriors, which was just supposed to be a logo and a t-shirt that I threw parties with. I turned that into a nonprofit and then built that into a solid organization that then ran and organized these Silkies hikes all over the country because I didn't want to lose the message to be lost. I don't want people making money off of it. I don't want to turn it into this stupid drunk fest. I wanted it there to make sure that there was a purpose and a message there. And the message was that I changed it very, very shortly after. I said, fuck awareness. We're no longer about awareness. Those who are dead are dead. We need to focus on the living and preventing us from becoming one of those 22.
Yeah.
You pull that trigger, you fucking tapped out. We'll still love you, but we got to focus on the living. And I'm pretty sure that's the way the dead would want us to act anyways. So we became about prevention. And our motto is that if we can come together to connect and bond with each other, we can become a support for each other. And the support that we give to each other keeps each other alive. And it all starts, though, with coming together. And as of 2 weeks ago, we have had 10,100 veterans come together at our events in just a year and a half.
Wow.
See, that there speaks for itself, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. That almost says there's an obvious need. We all know that, but the fact that people are coming is that's mm-hmm. amazing.
Yeah.
And which almost, I don't want to spoil it, but when we go on to eventually what your eventual plan is, that I think that even is going to tie in even further, isn't it? Because you can kind of, you know, from the comfort of your own sofa. I'm not just saying that that's where it will stop. But yeah, I can really see how you're going and how you end up where you end up, which obviously I'll let you say.
Yeah. So I did that for 80 plus hours a week. And for almost a year, nonstop. And it was the most stressful thing I've ever done. The Marine Corps was a piece of fucking cake compared to growing a nonprofit organization and running a team of volunteers. You know, anytime you're dealing with volunteers, it's going to be a pain in the butt, but especially with a brand new growing organization that's experiencing growing pains on a daily basis. So that was a miserable. The only thing that kept me going was actually going to these events. I flew all over the country. And yeah. Every event, I would meet dozens of warriors who would come up to me and they would say, thank you. This is the best day of my life. Or this is the best day I've had since I left the military. And the reason it was the best day is because we show up at 8 o'clock in the morning in our underwear, just no shirt, just our silkies on. And immediately everyone starts laughing. And then, of course, all the guys start acting gay and they're grabbing each other's asses. And then they start having beers and we're hiking and we're under in the weather and we're getting tired. And then every time they get to a new restaurant or bar or a park stop, everyone has a chance to bond and have another beer. And then by the end of the day, all these people who didn't know each other are now best friends and they're crying on each other's shoulders and they're opening up. And, you know, it's like the military version of a hippie festival. You know, like people pull their shorts up and they people wear thongs and they wear costumes. You know, we have been assumed to be a gay parade in almost every single hike I've been on.
But you're giving those guys something back. The bit that they enjoyed about their military, and I have no doubt about this,
yes.
The bit that they enjoyed the most, you're giving them back.
Exactly.
You know, and that's actually, it's really amazing. And I don't want to keep saying that to you, but it is. And that's probably saving a lot of lives. You don't even have to really think about it because it just is.
Well, according to the testimonials, it is, because people write to us all the time and they say, I'm certain I'm alive today because of that hike, because that hike pulled me out of a depression.
Yeah.
Because prior to that hike, to that event, I was putting a 45 to my head every night and just thinking about it. And since that day, when that pulled me out of my depression, it got rid of the anger that I had at my own government. And it introduced me to a whole bunch of new beautiful people who are now my best friends. And ever since then, I have not put a gun to my head, and I never will again. We get that all the time.
That's awesome.
Because they'll feel like they're not alone. I mean, that's amazing. That's so cool.
So I did that.
So yeah, I was going to say, so we've done thongs. We've done gay parades. What happened next, Donnie?
So for me, it was around November, December timeframe of 2015 when I got really, really miserable. My best friend who I started it with, we lost him to a woman who was also in the organization, and they fucked me over hard. And I was so unhappy. And I didn't have any money. You know, like, I stopped promoting my book because I don't want people to think that I started a nonprofit to promote my book. I never wanted to start a nonprofit. Nonprofits are a fucking pain in the ass. My goal was to promote my book and be a writer. I am a writer as a professional. And I totally stopped. So I hadn't sold any books.
Yes, yeah, so you have to earn money. I mean, you can't just live on fresh air. Yeah.
No. So I'm like, okay, I need to be a professional and start marketing my book like a professional writer. So I made a video. And I made a video based on my anger about the woman in the infantry.
Yeah.
And I channeled all that anger into a really witty piece that went viral on day one.
Oh, wow. And,
it's to this day one of my wittiest creations. And I learned two things through this, that for one, I can act. And for two, that I can make film. So I made another and another. And then, you know, next thing you know, my Facebook following goes from 2,000 to 40,000. And I kept making videos. And then I started thinking to myself, okay, so people like these videos. But mind you, these were not for everyone. These videos are specifically for combat vets. Most specifically infantry combat vets. So I didn't care when I made them that some people might not get it.
That probably makes them all the more special, to be honest.
Yes. And same thing with my book.
Yeah. You're not going to please everyone. And then you know what? It doesn't matter.
When I create something, I know in my mind exactly who I'm making it for before I start typing. And I make it just for them and no one else. And in doing so, I keep my voice pure and I keep everything much more genuine and focused. And, you know, as a result, it becomes that much more meaningful to whoever my target is.
Yeah.
And so I make videos and I start thinking to myself, how do I monetize this? Like, I enjoy this. I love it. I am an artist. I am a creator. I'm a writer and a filmmaker. How do I make a living out of this shit? And through my research, what it came down to was a subscription network. I found another network that had done something similar called Black and Sexy TV using this platform called VHX, which is owned by Vimeo now. And it is just absolutely brilliant. It's if you have an idea for a branded network, that's what this place is for. And it makes it incredibly easy. They facilitate everything. They take a decent cut, but it's seamless. So what you just saw, veterantv.tv, that's the VHX platform. And once I studied that and learned it, I started to realize, I looked at this other network, Black and Sexy TV. They make television shows for young and progressive black people between 20 and 35. Or I'm sorry, maybe it was 20s and 40s. And so they have 10,000 people paying $7 a month. So I thought, if this niche of young and progressive black people can get 10,000 people to pay $7 a month, then I know for a fucking fact I can get way more than 10,000 people to pay $5 a month. And that's how the idea for this streaming television network came to fruition. And I first came up with the plan in June. I made a blog post June 18th. And as of right now, we have a team of 12 and we've raised $207,000.
Wow. And so your team, this would comprise of Marine Corps veterans or just military veterans?
Marine, Army, and Navy.
Okay. And
wow.
And now, you know, through your experiences in the Marine Corps, getting out, I know you spent a little bit of time in Africa. And then, you know, learning your learning filmmaking, learning writing, releasing your book. Now all of this has culminated and now you've created what is called Vet TV.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so now the platform and this is, you know, I'd seen a video about Vet TV on Facebook a couple weeks ago, and I made a mental note to kind of reach out to you guys and see if you'd be interested in podcasting. And then I hooked up with Tim Kozak, and Tim, who runs the Veteran Project, which is a photographic essay, you know, detailing some of the veterans' experiences coming home from the wars. And I think it was actually me, Tim, Chantel, and Tyler Gray doing a podcast a couple of weeks ago. And then afterwards, Tim was like, "Yeah, I'm going to California, well, out to the West Coast, and I'm gonna do a piece on Donnie O'Malley." So, I think he had tagged me in a post in one of the blog posts for your feature, and then I added you on Instagram, and then I see all this stuff about Vet TV. I was like, "No shit!" So then I'm like, "Oh, it turns out you're the guy behind Vet TV." So, you know, it's pretty interesting. And now you guys are still, you still have a fundraiser open for this?
Yes, sir. Our Kickstarter campaign ends Wednesday night.
But even looking at, you know, just what you said there, John, that how many people there that you named are sort of are tied in together. And obviously I'm in the UK, but it doesn't matter because it just means that the word spreads around. And I know the sort of worry that you're going to sort of, that your TV or sort of pitch to, are you going to consider, is this going to be available worldwide, Donnie, or just in the US at the moment?
Worldwide.
Brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, you just got on from your computer, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, I just went onto your site, but I didn't obviously log into anything.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. Will I be able to subscribe from here?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that's fantastic news, isn't it? And you're going to, yeah. And just to go back to what you're going to do, you've obviously got veterans and you're going to, just from what we said earlier, potentially do sort of, I don't know if you call them reenactments, but you're going to do small films, short films?
I'm certain we will do some short films, but yeah. What we are mostly focused on are television shows, episodic content.
Yeah, so just chatting, I don't, you know, just chatting shit in the best possible way. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, there'll be a little bit of everything. I mean, just imagine The Office in an aid station. You know, the show, The Office.
Yeah. the British Office or your one?
Either one.
Because I love them. That's funny. Yeah. Are you David Brent?
No. That's not.
It's brilliant though, isn't it? I love it. And that's that sort of humor where it's just kind of fucked up but brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be a parody of reality.
Yeah, and when I say talking shit, I don't mean maybe in the US it means something different. To me, it's kind of people just hanging out and just chatting like soldiers
shit.
Do. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, so, that's shooting the shit.
So, Donnie, are you going to be involved in the creation of some or all of these episodes, or would it kind of encompass like other veterans putting out content that really kind of has nothing to do with you in terms of the creation of it, but then it would be available on your platform?
Great question. So in the beginning, it's going to be all us. And the reason being, because we don't have the money to pay someone else to license their shit. The way it works, you know, right now is we create all the shows. I don't act in all of them. I only act if I think I'm good for the role, and most of the time I'm not. So we hire actors to fulfill whatever is necessary in the current shows that we have planned. But long term, you know, say we have 20,000 people paying $5 a month. Well, then we're going to have more money than we can spend ourselves on production. So what do we do? Well, we have to pay other production companies to make shows, or we license it. But here's the issue. Someone has to make it first, right? When somebody makes a show in the entertainment industry, the network who plans on airing the show usually makes that show. It's very, very rare for someone to make an entire show. I've never heard of it. To make a whole show and then pitch it to the networks and say, hey, buy me. It usually works as somebody makes a pilot.
Right.
They pitch the pilot to the networks, and the networks say, oh shit, that's good. And the network makes it. That is where we will get to in the future.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting kind of utilizing, you know, the internet and social media and everything. You know, it shows the power of it, because you were able to get your veterans hikes, you know, getting it going across the country, right? And now you're able to get this platform up. And really, if you think about it, I mean, you know, a kind of a quote that I think Chantel I've heard her say this a couple of times, is, you know, wars change, but soldiers stay the same, right? So never at any point in history could soldiers come home from war and do this right now. So what, you know, that's part of what makes it special is that, you know, you're the first generation to have these tools at your disposal to where you can bring out a side that people who are never involved in anything involved in the military would be able to see it. And I think there's something special about that, because, you know, in 50 years, you know, when they kind of make the next jump in technology, they'll look back and go, oh yeah, well, this started, you know, in, you know, early 2000s, and guys were able to do XYZ, and now we're doing this. You know, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that could be a great legacy as well, because you kind of guys that are going home that potentially couldn't go home and open up to people, you know, they're going to be able to tap into your network and basically have that available, which is really, really, you know, that's quite a huge deal, I think.
Yeah.
And I only hope, obviously, I know that this will be a success, and I only hope that you, whatever happens from this, you do get that next stage, you know, because we've discussed already that we think that probably one of the worst things that's missing from our warriors coming home is the decompression cycle. They don't have that time that the Great Wars did, when it took them potentially up to 2 years to get home, you know. And so they had that time with the blokes to decompress, get all their sort of angst out, and then they were sort of able to come into society with relative, I'm not saying ease, but they, it was just different. Whereas I hope that what you're doing allows that. It's an amazing idea. So you should be really happy about that.
Thank you. I am.
You should be proud of yourself without sounding like, you know, like an idiot. You really should. It's quite an accomplishment.
No. I won't be proud until I will not be proud until we have achieved a lot more.
That's cool. That's, you're quite humble. That's even better, isn't it? But yeah, you are achieving. It's amazing.
And so, Donnie, what? So for people who are interested in donating to the campaign, how does that go? Can you break that down?
Sure. I'm guilty of it too, but we're trying to get away from saying donating because you're getting something in return.
Okay.
Our link is launchveterantv.com. And on there, it explained there's a video that is basically the same kind of commercial that you would see for Hulu. We have a commercial like that made, and that's the first video there. And then we have a host of other videos that both explain the network, explain what we're doing with the money specifically, and explain what you get for your, we'll call it a pledge, but you're buying a reward. And then there are other videos that are just entertaining that show you what you can expect from the network. And all of that is on launchveterantv.com.
And all of the actual filming that you guys are doing, that's all taking place out in the West Coast?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Southern California, somewhere around here.
Okay. Cool. Okay. And just a reminder of the book again, Donnie. So when people want to find out what happened with the journalist, they can go download it.
That is Embarrassing Confessions of a Marine Lieutenant.
Great.
All right, cool, man. Yeah, so, Donnie, it was great having you on, man. I appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Thank you, guys.
So what I'll do is on the social media posts, like when I'm promoting the episode and on the – I have what I call the podcast notes where you can access the episode on my website. I'll have all the links and details there for people who are interested in contributing. And, you know, for the audience, I highly encourage you guys to contribute to this. It's really awesome and it's really unique because, like I said, at no point in history could you have access to combat veterans the way that Donnie is setting it up. Like there's no, you know, never can you hear, you know, or see what the creative minds of the, you know, Marine Corps vets who just got back from combat, you know, what are they doing? What are they thinking? And it's kind of an insight into there. And then obviously for the veterans themselves, it's a way that they can connect and decompress. So it's really kind of encompassing a lot of things. And like I said, I highly encourage everyone to go onto those links and make those pledges and help reach the goal that they're trying to hit. And when is the deadline again?
We finished the campaign on Wednesday night is the last night to become a backer of the campaign.
All right, cool. So again, for the audience, you know, for everyone on social media, you don't have a lot of time to do it, but you know, do what you can, kick in what you can. And I can assure you that this is going to be worthwhile.
Raw.
Yeah. all right. So once again, Donnie, it was great. Where can people check you out on social media and follow and keep up with you and Veteran TV?
So at Donnie O'Malley or at Veteran Television on Facebook. And then actually all my social media handles are Donnie O'Malley. But for the Vet TV on Instagram, it's vet_TV. For Twitter, it's veteran_TV. A general search for Veteran TV or Veteran Television will bring us up, but Donnie O'Malley is super easy. Find that anywhere.
All right, cool, man. All right, so we'll kick this off. You know, hopefully some of my audience and people that I have on social media and Chantel as well can kick in and help contribute.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, guys. I'm very grateful.
Thanks, Donnie.
Take care. Have a good night.
Interesting combo with Donnie O'Malley. Interesting to see how Vet TV kind of shaped in his mind and where he drew his inspiration from and how he was able to kind of make it happen. And I think that's one thing that's kind of an example of what we were talking about in the beginning of the podcast, where you talk about bringing that intensity, bringing that dedication to whatever it is that you want to achieve and whatever goals it is you're pursuing. And I think he's done that. And it's evident by, you know, how well put together this is and how much money they were able to raise for this project. You know, I think it's awesome stuff. I know from your perspective, being in the UK, it must be interesting to kind of think about the possibilities that this show could, that this application and platform could bring.
Yeah, and I think about that with most of the stuff that I've experienced on the podcast, to be honest, John. There's all these, I just see, there's almost, it's like a hotbed of people, you know, and they're doing stuff. And I don't mean that as in as basic as it sounds. They're actually, they're taking the everything that they've learned, good or bad, and they're actually, they're going out there and they're achieving. And I suppose, and moreover, the kind of, I like that people are employing veterans, and I like, even going back to the Combat Flip-Flop guys, and I recently saw some of their stuff on Facebook, and then this Vet TV is, you know, Tim with his pictures. There's so many different projects, and if anything, I hope it inspires others, because, yeah, Vet TV, essentially, like we said in the podcast, and people might think, yeah, but that could save one or two lives, and as we know, you know, what you save one, you save 1,000, you know, the ripple effect and things like that. So It's really pleasing to hear. I mean, I don't know how we'll go with some of his subject matter, which is, it's not going to be for everyone. So that's another thing. At the end of the day, it's not. I like that he's gone out there, and you're never going to please everybody. You know, you could write a book that's got every sort of PC tick in every box, and someone will still be pissed off.
Right.
So you're better off doing what you want to do and do it well.
Right, and he kind of came out. From the gate, you know.
He came out from the gate not giving a fuck, didn't he?
Yeah, he's just like,
yeah.
But that's a good thing, you know?
Without doubt, yeah.
And when you're trying to kind of pursue a goal or objective, whatever it is, if it's a business or whatever, you really need to have that mindset in order to get it done, you know? Because otherwise, you'll just, you know, once people start criticizing or you know, hating or whatever it is.
And that happens. I mean, that's, it's like, and we spoke about the social media can be a double-edged sword, because I've seen it, and I run, you know, the old Battle Worn page, and I try and be, I've got a lot of families of fallen warriors on there, and, you know, across, that's worldwide, you know, not just the UK. And sometimes I have to really, you know, just monitor and almost police people, because you do get people that just are sort of out to be negative about things, and right. And that's why I quite like Donnie's attitude of you have to have that, not, you know, almost like put blinkers on and do what you're going to do.
Right.
Yeah. So again, it's a project that we can look forward to sort of subscribing to and looking at, because how cool would that be if it's going out worldwide as well? So,
right,
and that's the military humor is kind of universal, isn't it? You know,
yeah, right. And I've seen that throughout the different services for, you know, like kind of the allied nations, you know, Australians, the British, the Americans, right? You know, yes. and that's just how it is, and I think.
There's only so many ways you can dig a latrine, John. You know, and it's right. it's that kind of toilet humor, isn't it?
Exactly, it's all the same shit. So
yeah.
So you know, and I think it's interesting because they've gotten to this point before it's gone live. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they've raised. I mean, although it's not donation, this is actually so you can participate in making this happen.
Right.
There's a lot of people participating, so that kind of says If you're at that, I mean, there are some films that get made that don't get that sort of participation from crowdfunding. So it puts into perspective how much they've, that people are sort of looking at being part of this. Yeah.
And a good, you know, I forget, I'm not sure if this is the exact line, but it's a sentiment of it is, you know, to be in business, you have to be in business. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to do something, you have to do it. And I think once it launches and they, you know, they spend some time doing it and figuring things out and kind of making adjustments, I think the ceiling is there's no ceiling, you know,
it could go crazy. And that's the thing; it's a concept, and that the concept is sort of proven its own worth by the the initial posts that he started going viral and all, you know, that kind of, he's, you know, in some ways there's an audience there, and why wouldn't there be with that sort of banter, you know, this kind of, it's because it's kind of second to none, and that's what a lot of people crave. They miss because they go home, and obviously they go home to, well, I'd hope, you know, loving families and all that sort of stuff, but you can't really act the way you did back in barracks at your mum's dinner table. You know what I'm saying? You know, and that goes the same for me. You know, I'm a medic, and I've obviously had to spend a lot of time with grunt. So I see, and I miss that too, because it's, you kind of get that, once you're sort of welcomed into the fold, it's that feeling of belonging, sense of belonging, isn't it? And it's why wouldn't you miss it?
Right. And you know, with that, with the platform being so accessible, you know, you can have it on your phone, on your tablets, you know, on your Xbox, your PlayStations, whatever. You know, for some guys, it'll be a piece of what they were missing, you know, in their pocket, so to speak, you know. So,
so you could be on your way to the crappy VA's office if that, you know, that's what they and you're going to be pissed off, and then potentially you could. I know this, you know, people might think, oh, it's a bit far fetched, but you could, if you've got that in your head, and there's someone, obviously, if anything, it's going to brighten your day, isn't it?
Right, and sometimes that's just what, you know, what you need, kind of take you back from the edge, and that's for anybody, you know. We all have our days and stuff, so
we had days. I had a day today, didn't I, John? I needed that in my ear today.
Exactly. Come on, Donnie.
I did.
So it's all good stuff, and you know we'll continue to kind of bring to the forefront, you know, all these great veterans who are doing all these great things. And, you know, we'll see you guys in a couple of days with another episode. But before we get out of here, I would encourage you guys to check out Chantel's book. It's called Battle Worn, The Memoir of a Combat Medic in Afghanistan. It's available pretty much everywhere you can get books online, right?
Yeah, it is. It's doing quite well at the moment, so I'm quite pleased with the way things are going. It is out there. I mean, I hope that I capture some of the humour that's, you know, maybe that from me watching from a medic's perspective, looking at the way grunts conduct themselves, and I say that with, that's a term of endearment, you know, that I hope I captured some of that sick humour in there. I miss it.
Yeah, well, look, so I guess, actually, I'm not 100% sure when they're launching it, but I know the funding will end tomorrow night, so I'm assuming it'll be shortly after that. So with that being said, now, again, check out the social media post, IG Recon on Instagram, FB Recon on Facebook. Check out the website. On there, I have the podcast notes. It's globalrecon.net/podcast. The episode will be at the top of the list. Click on it. I'll have all the links there so you can make your pledge and contribute to the project and keep up with Donnie and Vet TV and everything they got going on. And we'll see you guys in another couple of days with another episode. Until then, peace.
Thank you.